This morning I will be reading 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Good morning. Think I'm wise enough to say much more than what's already been said, but I'm thankful for forgiveness and putting things behind us. Love Bobby, love people of this church. I was thinking a lot about what to talk about this week. Last week we finished up our series in James. And I enjoyed going through James. I like to look at the Bible through many different series throughout a year, as most of y'all picked up by now. But whenever I finish a series, I try to take a few weeks, and instead of having a planned out series before me, I had to kind of figure out, what am I going to preach during this time? And I kind of try to challenge myself, come up with some things. This has been an odd week. Last week, I ended my sermon by saying, when you face difficult times and 2021, remember James and his talk about endurance and prayer. And then I proceeded to have by far the most difficult week I've had all year so far in 2021. It's like every day something went wrong. Woke up Monday morning and a tire was flat, that kind of situation. And it just made me think about, what do I need to hear? What do we need from God's word? And ask myself this question: what is the most powerful lesson? What is the most powerful idea in the Bible? That's what I wanted. I wanted to hear something that moved me. And as I was thinking about that, about what we would study this morning before we go into our series on John, starting probably early in March, I was thinking about my favorite book in the Bible, Ezekiel. I've always found Ezekiel to be an interesting man because he was a faithful prophet of the Lord who lived in a very difficult time, lived a very difficult life. He stands out to me as this reminder that even the most faithful person will still experience great struggles and difficulties. I especially love the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Here, Ezekiel is nearing the end of his ministry. He's had a rocky few years. His ministry lasted about 20 years, and they were very difficult. But he's nearing the end of his ministry, and Israel's in a dark time. The northern and the southern kingdom have been destroyed. The people are in exile in Babylon, and they are scared and unsure. They don't know where they're going. It's the most hopeless point in Israel's history. They believe their relationship with God might even be close to ending. And yet, Ezekiel, who's mostly been full of doom and gloom so far in the previous 37 chapters, about how they're going to be punished for acting so unfaithfully to God and for drenching themselves in sin, God lifts Ezekiel up and gives him this vision of a valley full of dry bones. Ezekiel 37, starting in about verse 11, it says, "Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And behold, they say, our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves, and I will raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. I'll put my spirit within you, and you'll live. I will place you in your own land, and you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. Ezekiel's talking to a people that spiritually they are dried up. God uses this vision, this crazy metaphor. The nation of Israel spiritually looks like a valley of dead bones. Not just spiritually dead, but been spiritually dead for so long, and it's so severe that there ain't nothing left of who they used to be but a bunch of dry old bones. And God says, you think there's no coming back from that, but I have a way to bring you back to life, to give you new life. This story is amazing. It really introduces this idea of what God's got planned for mankind, resurrection, the idea of bringing something back to life. This is one of the first glimpses we get of this in the whole Bible. It's not something the Old Testament talks a lot about. Sin in the Old Testament very often is this thing that doesn't really have a permanent solution yet. They don't know what to do with it. How do we really get away from sin? It keeps getting us. How's God gonna fix sin? That's the question of the Old Testament. And Ezekiel starts giving us the plan right here. God's plan is pretty similar to what we see in Ezekiel. He's gonna give his people a new life. He's going to bring them back from their spiritual death. He's going to raise them from that state of death in sin. And in fact, much of what Ezekiel's talking about here seems to be pointing right towards the work that Jesus is going to do in his own life in the future. You know, I ask myself that question, what's the most powerful idea? What's the most powerful lesson in the Bible? And it's what Ezekiel's talking about right here. It's what Paul is going to later call the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is a big old $5 word. It's not my favorite word, but man, it might be the most beautiful one in the English language, because as big as it is, its meaning is even bigger. It means to take something that was broken, something that is separated, bring it back together, to make it whole again. That's God's whole work, his whole plan. Fixing the broken relationship between man and God. That's what he wants to do. And today, that's what we're going to be thinking about. If you will turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the passage that Jameson read for us just a few minutes ago. We're going to start just a little bit before then in verses 16 through 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. It says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded even Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled himself to us and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul's been talking in 2 Corinthians 5 about his ministry, about what Christ has done. And beginning in verse 16, he focuses on the after effects of what Jesus did. You know, what Paul does only happens because of what Jesus did. He says, from now on, therefore. And he means from the point where we, as God's people, began living for Christ, where we became aware of and embraced Jesus' sacrifice, from that point, we got to start trying not to look at people from a purely human perspective, judging them by their outward appearance. Even Jesus at one time was judged based on what people saw about him from a human perspective. We talked about Mark today. That's the continual problem. They don't understand him. People look at him and they just see a carpenter's son. They didn't see who he was. When someone becomes a Christian, they're a new creation. It's not something that you can see with your eyes, but it's real. Paul's saying we have to live being careful about the way we look at others, because Jesus came, and through Jesus, God reconciled us to himself. And in doing that, he then gave us a new job. We get to help others be reconciled to him, just like we have been reconciled. We get the ministry of bringing the world back to God, the ministry of reconciliation. In ancient thought, this word we translate reconciliation was used to describe the mending of a strained or broken relationship. I found this really interesting. I was looking up the way that the Greeks would talk about this. How do you fix a broken relationship? Usually by the removal of bad feelings that caused the thing to fall apart in the first place. If you can get those out, express them, get rid of those bad feelings, and then restore the friendship. That's what reconciliation is about, forgiving and restoring. It's about saying, all right, this hurt, it was unpleasant, but I want to be family still. I love you. Going back to Ezekiel, we've got a pretty amazing example of this described in the later part of that same chapter, chapter 37. I love this imagery. It's so easy to picture. Starting in verse 15 of chapter 37 of Ezekiel, going on to about verse 24. Just listen to how he paints this picture. It says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, take a stick and write on it for Judah and the people of Israel associated with him. This is the southern kingdom, Judah. And then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, all the house of Israel associated with him. The northern kingdom, these people have been separated for 400 years in conflict. God's people have not been together. And join them to one another, into one stick that they may become one in your hand. And when your people say to you, will you not tell us what he mean by these things? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm about to take the stick of Joseph and the tribes of Israel associated with him, and I'm going to join them to the stick of Judah. And I'm going to make them one, that they may be one in my hand. When the sticks on which you write are in your hand before their eyes, say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone. I will gather them from all around. I will bring them to their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. And one king will be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations. They shall no longer be divided into two kingdoms. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols and their detestable things or with any of their transgressions. But I'm going to save them from all the backslidings in which they have sinned. I'm going to cleanse them. And they're going to be my people. And I'm going to be their God. My servant David will be king over them. And they'll have one shepherd. And Ezekiel is talking about the church. He's talking about what God is going to do to reconcile the whole world to himself, starting with Israel, moving on to Judea, Samaria, and the whole world, as Jesus says in Acts. God describes how he's going to fix the relationship. He's going to unite these divided people. He's going to make all peoples one and unite them to himself as well. He wants that relationship restored. He's not only going to be reunited with them, but he's going to forgive them of their mistakes and move forward with them in this new relationship. This is eventually going to result in the coming of Jesus, God made flesh, to truly be with his people and to reconcile not just Israel, but everyone. It's this kind of love, this kind of ministry that God wants the church, wants us to be doing. God looked at each of us and he saw how we broke the relationship with him. How we've sinned, how we've hurt him, how we've chosen. And yet, despite all these things, he's chosen to look at us and say, I forgive you. I want to forgive you. I want to be your family. After all, what does John tell us? He so loved the world that he sent his son. If we've heard the call of the gospel, if we've responded to that desire to be family with us, with a yes, God, I want to be part of your family. If we want to be like that, if we want to put the pain of sin behind us, then we get the really difficult news. God says, all right, me and you, we've been reconciled. Now you go and begin the ministry of reconciliation. Carry it on. Just as he restored his relationship with us, he expects us to be teaching and reaching out to the world around us, even to those that have hurt us, trying to reconcile with them and to help them to be reconciled with God just as we have been. This is what the ministry of reconciliation is. It's the work of fixing the broken world that we live in, of changing it back to the way that it was created to be as much as we can. A place where people loved one another and serve God. That's the ideal. That's the goal. How do we reach a world like that? How do we be a people that love each other and serve God? In Paul's day, reconciliation would happen when one country was trying to make a peace with another. You know, if your country wronged another, then you'd send an ambassador to make amends. That would achieve some reconciliation and fix the relationship. And you know what's interesting about the way God handles reconciliation? God does not expect an ambassador from the people that wronged him to fix the relationship. God has been wronged, and yet God is the one that sticks out the hand. God makes the first move. Normally it's us. You know, if we wrong someone else, normally we begin by saying sorry. But God doesn't even wait for the apology. If you punch me in the face, generally I'm not going to feel like it's my job to reconcile the relationship. But what did Jesus say? Turn the other cheek. What did Jesus do? He was killed by sinners like me, and yet he died for me to fix that relationship. We begin to reach that goal of reconciling the world to God when we start trying to repair our own relationships. I like these last few verses here in 2 Corinthians 5. Paul explains this ministry of reconciliation. He says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So forgetting the sins they've committed, giving them a chance, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God is trying so hard with everything that he has to bring the whole world to himself. That's what he wants. And he's given us to be a chance to be part of that, to be his ambassadors to this world. He does not count their trespasses against those who have wronged him. He doesn't sit around nursing hurt feelings. He says, I don't care what you've done to me. I don't care how much you've hurt me. I just want you to come home like the father to the prodigal son. That's who God is. He wants to be with us. When you think about it, God's people represent a pretty crazy goal, one that we're going to struggle to achieve, because we're the one group on this planet who are supposed to be able to forgive even the worst wrong, who are able to turn the cheek at any strike, who are able to bless those who persecute us. We're supposed to be able to do this because it's what Jesus did. And it's the hardest thing in the world. A people that go straight to the source when there's a problem. A people who are honest and upfront. God expects us to imitate Christ in this, to reach out to the world around us, and by example to help them see God, to show them in the way we treat each other what reconciliation looks like. You know, I was thinking about all this. One good highlight, I said my week was a little crazy. One really good highlight was Friday. I saw my family. Hadn't seen my mama in 7 months. It's been a while. All this COVID mess. Her and my stepfather had COVID. Thank the Lord they recovered. But man, I saw them yesterday. I saw my sisters. I saw my new nephew. I've only met him once. And as I saw them, I had a lot of thoughts. I was reminded of all the times of pain and the struggles that we've gone through with each other. You know, we fought, we're family, we've had all kinds of ups and downs. You can ask them. But I was also reminded of the resilience and the beauty of family. And man, that family is worth fighting for. It's worth hurting for. It's even worth dying for. That's what God believed. And so he sent his son because he thought we were worth dying for. A relationship with us. Getting to be family with us. I don't know what the rest of 2021 is going to be like, but I really hope that it turns out to be a year of reconciliation. A year where we're putting to right old wrongs, healing old wounds, and able to show more and more people the saving and selfless love of Jesus. And as we go through our week, let's think about the ways that we can open the door, ways that we can create reconciliation in this world around us. Let's pray to God for mended relationships and mended hearts and for this poor country, because it's all torn up and it needs reconciliation. Our world needs to know the great physician, because there's nothing better than the cure that he has. This morning, I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know what it is that you are needing help with. But I know that if you need reconciliation, if you need to fix the relationship, if you need to get back with God, he wants that. We want to help you with it. If you aren't a Christian, you've never made that step, we want to do anything we can for you. If you have a need, come as we stand and as we sing.
Songbook, turn with me to number 548. We'll sing this one and be dismissed in prayer. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.